Welcome back to Crunch Time. It's time for the Crunch Exchange, brought to you by the Josh Cooley team of Keller Williams Realty. Alex presents the prospectus. Steve lets us know if he's buying, selling, or if it's pending. Sell your home worry-free with Josh Cooley, Keller Williams Realty.
That's a pretty loud bell. Welcome back to Crunch Time. It is time for the Crunch Exchange. Emma, again, just in and out with the quickness.
The reliability
yeah.
on a totally different level.
Yeah, opens up our shows, opens up our segments. She's just an all-star. I don't know what it is. So, Crunch Exchange time. That means I'm going to bring up a story, and I'm going to give Steve a prospectus. He's going to tell us if he's buying or selling. Sometimes he uses the pending option. It's kind of a rarity, but sometimes he does it just to prove a point that he does it. The NFL Combine is apparently happening right now. Well, it's getting started, which means
sell.
It's time for... Okay, that was it. Moving on. No, that means it is time for coaches and GMs to do interviews at the podium and whatnot. Jeff Fisher said some stuff. The Browns said they'll draft a quarterback, make a decision on Manziel. But the big news today is from my Niners, their GM Trent Baalke, who said a couple of headline grabbers. One, he's not opposed to bringing in RG3, who's about done in Washington. And two, that he promised Colin Kaepernick will be on the roster this season to play in Chip Kelly's offense. Talked of Kaepernick being the first athletic quarterback to play under Chip in the NFL, and that they could be greatly successful if Kaepernick can return to full strength. But there's also been talk of the Niners are evaluating quarterbacks at the Combine, and if rumors about RG3 are true, then that's something to think about as well. The 49ers have until April 1st to dump Kaepernick and save $100 million, but they can't contractually because he's injured. Oh, Blaine Gabbert also took over for him last season and played pretty well. The prospectus: do you buy or sell that Colin Kaepernick will open the season as Chip Kelly's starting quarterback?
I'm gonna buy that. I really think that Baalke wants him. I think that there's an understanding from Kelly that I tried my way or the highway, and I had to relocate 2,800 miles, and that Kaepernick, with the right guidance, kind of like he had at Nevada, and with Harbaugh, could do some damage. I'm going to buy that one. Does that make you sad?
I mean, I was already sad. Pac-12 standings are a tight race to finish the season. Men's basketball, I'm talking about. Oregon had the lead for a while, especially after they beat Arizona. But since then, they lost to the Bay Area schools and fell into a tie in the conference with the Wildcats at 10-4. Arizona currently has the tiebreaker because their overall record is better. But there are still four games left in the season for Oregon to regain the lead in the pack. Ducks play the Washington schools, then the LA schools. So the road is a little bit tougher on paper for them. But that said, Arizona does play the number three team in the conference, Utah, then closes with those same Bay Area teams that ended Oregon's run on top. So still a lot to play for in terms of bragging rights for who wins the conference during the regular season. Pac-12 tourney begins March 9th. Who will go in as the number one team? The prospectus: the Ducks will win out and regain the lead in the Pac-12 before the Pac-12 tournament starts.
I don't think they need to win out. They're tied, which means they're ahead. Arizona has to finish in front of them because Oregon won the only meeting. And I think between the Washington schools and UCLA, Oregon will be favored in three of those games. I think the Cats have a tougher schedule ahead of them. So based on that, I'm going to buy it.
Cash money. Your previous answer should lead into this one.
And by the
bit.
Way, yeah. You mentioned how tight the Pac-12 standings are in football. It's a crazy race right now. It's a 12-way tie.
It's unbelievable. As we heard from Matt Chazanow yesterday, Dana Altman on the verge of breaking current Wazoo coach Ernie Kent's Oregon record for consecutive home wins. Kent won 23 in a row from 2001 to 2003. Altman is set to break that if the Ducks handle business against the Cougs tonight. Also, oh, by the way, it's Phil Knight's birthday.
Tonight?
Yeah. I believe so. That's what I've seen. I don't know him personally, so I guess I can't.
We'll get on that.
Yeah, I guess I'll text him or something. Comparing those two teams, this year's Ducks versus Ernie's 01-02 team, That is the year they went to the Elite Eight with the Conference Player of the Year, Luke Ridenour, and a cast of characters Oregon fans know all too well. Ducks lost 9 games that year, won the conference, were a 2 seed in the tournament. They went on to lose to a really good Kansas team. This year's team currently being projected as a number 2 seed, according to Jerry Palm. Time will tell how they finish this season, but right now they match up well with Ernie's gang. The prospectus, this year's Oregon men's hoops team is better than Ernie's Elite Eight team of 0-1-0-2.
And by the way, 23 straight home wins is the record.
Yes.
Anybody think about the irony there? From Michigan State in 1998 to losing at Stanford to Stanford in 2001, the Autzen record's also 23 in a row.
How about that?
I think. Am I right there?
I don't
know. Get a little Cracker Jack staff action on that one.
Nick, we're looking in your direction.
I'll tell you what. This team, without a question, has better players. They have 7 really good players on this team. Is it better landscape? I said weeks ago, when the dust settles, this probably go down as the best Oregon team. I'm going to stick with it and buy it. Another buy.
Wow, that legitimately surprises me. It's tough to go against that Ducks team from that era.
One of my favorite teams.
Luke and Luke, obviously.
I went against my heart, and I said we love Luke Jackson and Ridenour, aside from Brandon, and the other Luke is... God, did I love watching that dude play up close and personal.
A poll came out this week about the popularity of NFL quarterbacks, and of all people, Tim Tebow came in number 5 as the NFL's most popular QB. Now, Tebow isn't technically an NFL quarterback because he isn't currently on a team, so the list should probably just be thrown out. But there is a point to be made that if we're judging popularity, then Tebow is a quarterback, and he drives the needle like no other. After all, this is not a poll about the best quarterback. This is a poll about the most popular, and Tebow is currently the Messiah, as far as a lot of people are concerned. But there are also guys in the NFL like Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, Russell Wilson, Cam Newton, who are vastly popular and are actually currently quarterbacks in the NFL. So as polls usually do, this took a small sample size, so it could be true, it could not be true, but what say you? The prospectus, Tim Tebow is actually in the top 5 most popular quarterbacks in the NFL.
So you're saying even though he's not a quarterback?
It's a small sample size, so you buy or sell that he actually is in the top 5.
I'll tell you what, if you went around NFL stadiums on a given Sunday, I don't even think he'd make the top 30, so that's a sell.
Tiger Woods in the news this week because there were a series of reports saying that he can barely walk, couldn't sit down without pain, and was nowhere close to being able to compete again. Then his agent released a statement calling the reports ridiculous. Woods himself released a time-stamped video of him hitting tee shots into a big screen. But that is just really weird. He looked like a human being swinging a club, but how much of it was for show to ensure his sponsors that they could continue to pay him millions of dollars on the off chance that he will play again sometime soon? Do we take Tiger and his agent at their word? Usually when there's smoke, there's fire. The prospectus, after this week, Tiger Woods will play before the end of 2017.
Wow, you mean so he doesn't even have to play this year. He just has to tee it up at next year's PGA.
Uh-huh.
That seems like an easy buy. So
does it?
I'll do that.
All right. The lawsuit, I was thinking going until the end of 2016 was too easy.
I was thinking because of the fact that he's not just bedridden, we might see him this year.
That's fair. The lawsuit against Tennessee took an interesting turn for Butch Jones today. New filing claims that a player on the team tried to help the victim of a rape perpetrated by 2 of his teammates, and that Jones called the player giving the woman aid a traitor, which caused the player to be brought to tears. According to the filing, Jones later apologized to the player. Certainly paints the head coach in a really ugly light and is a huge boost to the case against the school that they set up a culture that supported and covered up for players who sexually assaulted women. The prospectus, after hearing today's new allegations against Jones, Butch Jones will be fired from Tennessee before the start of next season.
If evidence presents itself that this woman was a rape victim and this young guy had the heart, the character, and the soul to try and come to her aid, and the coach called him a traitor, he's absolutely out. So I'm leaning pending, but it really seems like there's evidence that this actually happened. So I'm going to buy it. Bye-bye, Butch.